Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you virtually today. I think it's brilliant that thanks to technology, I can preach in Kent without ever having to leave Cornwall. The message that I am bringing to you today has been on my heart to bring to you for a while now, but it was never quite the right time when we were living in Kent. So hopefully now is the right time. When John and I had our wedding, my two bridesmaids came over from America for the occasion because I had lived in the States for a while. One of them had never been to the UK before, so she was super excited to make her first trip to Great Britain and was keen to experience all sorts of British culture. Before she came, she emailed me to ask me what Yorkshire pudding was. And could she eat it while she was in Britain? Which led to an interesting point. How do you explain Yorkshire pudding to someone who has never eaten batter? Americans do not have Yorkshire pudding or toad in the hole as part of their cuisine. Their pancakes are nothing like our pancakes. Theirs are much thicker and much more cakey in texture. Batter, as we know it, just isn't a part of their culinary experience. Some things are just difficult to describe, aren't they? You have to experience them, which is what I said to Alicia. When you come, you can have some Yorkshire pudding. In one of my previous jobs, I worked for a church for just over 3 years, but for over two of those years, the church was in an interregnum. And during that time, a lot of people asked me, what's it like working for a church without a senior minister? And I found it very difficult to describe what it's like. But the more that I reflect back on that time, the more I feel that it's a bit like how I imagined being on the ark with Noah would have been. Being in a church that's in a pastoral vacancy is a bit like being on Noah's Ark. I don't know how else to describe it. And so I would like to explore Noah's story with you this morning. And I hope that we can draw much encouragement from the account of Noah in Scripture. So let's begin. You may like to have the story of Noah open in front of you as we go through, in case you want to check verses for yourself. If so, please feel free to have a Bible open to Genesis chapters 6, 7 and 8. Did you notice, as you have read or listened to the account of Noah, that his family were in the ark with the animals for a whole year? Genesis 7 verse 6 says that Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And in Genesis 8:13, it says that in Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. What do you think it was like being on the ark for all that time with all those animals? Suddenly lockdown doesn't seem so bad, does it? How did they manage the practical arrangements? God had given very specific details as to when the flood would come, but he didn't say anything about how long Noah and the animals would have to stay in the ark. As the days turned into weeks, and then months, and then a year, did they ever start to wonder if this was ever going to end? Was this the new normal? And this is where it starts to get a little bit like being in a church when there's no pastor. Sometimes we have warning that a pastoral vacancy is coming. The minister is due for retirement or he takes up a position in another church. And sometimes we have no warning whatsoever. The minister resigns suddenly or passes away. But however we've ended up in that place, we never know exactly how long it's going to last. And that makes it hard. Noah and his family didn't have any training in zoology or animal husbandry, as far as we know. Yet they had to look after all of those animals for a whole year. Did God miraculously equip them with veterinary knowledge and understanding? Or did they learn by trial and error on a very steep learning curve? Sometimes, in a pastoral vacancy, we might find ourselves having to operate outside of our comfort zones, or even a little bit beyond it. Beyond our training, beyond our job descriptions, just like Noah. Sometimes God equips people for that specific moment in time, but other times it's just a case of everyone having to pull together and muck in to get the job done. When a church doesn't have a pastor, it's perhaps more important than ever to be gracious towards one another. Someone might be operating at the edge of their gifting, or even a bit beyond it, simply because there is no one else to do the task. And yet, that's often the hardest situation in which to be gracious, isn't it? Nothing is quite as it should be, and everyone is feeling a little unsettled, nerves start to fray a little. And in that place, it can become so easy to start preying on each other. I wonder, did some of the animals on the ark get so fed up with Noah's attempts to feed them that they seriously started to consider snacking on one or two of the other animals? When there's no minister leading the church, it can be so tempting to start attacking each other. But if the animals on the ark had started to eat each other, the animal kingdom as we know it today would have been tragically different. When we start attacking each other, we only hurt ourselves. It is essential for the health of our churches that we don't give in to the temptation to prey on each other when we don't have a pastor. Noah and his family were in this mad situation with all the animals, and it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their behaviour that had led them into this predicament. God destroyed the earth due to the wickedness of other people. Genesis 6 verse 9 describes Noah as the one righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. And yet he and his family were the ones to suffer the consequences of all the people's wickedness. They were in this bizarre, crazy, just plain difficult situation through no fault of their own. Pastoral vacancies in churches are incredibly hard and can be very difficult for everyone involved. And yet the people who go through that experience are usually not the ones who were responsible for that situation coming about in the first place. If a minister retires, dies, resigns, takes up a post elsewhere, it's not the church's fault. And yet the church congregation are the ones who are left behind to pick up the pieces and move forward. When difficult times come, we like to have someone we can point the finger at as the cause of our distress. Noah didn't get that on the ark, and we don't get that when our church is in a pastoral vacancy. It's not anyone's fault. Or if it is, they're not around anymore to take the blame. And that tension can be difficult to live with. It adds to the temptation to start preying on each other, and it adds to the pressure that those trying to lead the church are under. So let's continue to extend grace and to pray for those in leadership over us. In the ark, with all those animals confined in such a limited area, how much animal dung did Noah and his family have to deal with during that year? And how did they do it? Sometimes a pastoral vacancy might reveal some mess that is accumulated unnoticed in our church family. And it might be that there's some mess that needs to be cleared before a new minister can come. If we go back to Noah's story, some animals keep very similar waking and sleeping patterns to humans, but some are nocturnal. So there would always have been at least one animal somewhere on that ark that needed care and attention. There were no breaks. How did Noah and his family manage to rest? When there's no leader, It's not always easy to find the rest and replenishment that we need. What can we do to support each other during this time? In the ark, how did Noah and his family handle the animals that like to have lots of exercise and space to roam? How do you handle elephants who want to stampede when you're on a boat? Sometimes a church might need to adjust the variety of ministries that it's able to offer during a pastoral vacancy due to different staffing levels and abilities. And that's hard, because usually everybody is very happy for ministries to cut as long as it's not theirs. Extra grace is required here. On the ark, how did they handle having no privacy and no place to escape to? They couldn't go for a walk around the block to let off steam or get a change of scenery. They were trapped on a boat with nothing but water for miles around. There will be times during this pastoral vacancy where you may feel the need to let off some steam, either individually or corporately. Please don't be afraid of those times, but make sure that you find a safe place in which to vent, because steam can scald if it's released in the wrong environment. Did Noah and his family wonder if their food rations would last for them and the animals? As time goes by in a pastoral vacancy, we might get nervous about whether the church has enough resources to survive until a new minister comes. There must have been so many challenges for Noah and his family while they were on board the ark. But there was also something amazing that happened on the ark. Noah built an incredible relationship with the doves. Now, doves are flighty birds. They fly away at the first sign of danger. Being on a noisy ark surrounded by loads of other animals would have been the doves' worst nightmare. And doves are not big on human contact. Noah had no animal training that we know of, and yet we read in Genesis 8:8-12 that the dove allowed Noah to pick it up, release it outside, and then catch it again and bring it back inside the ark multiple times. This is not normal dove human behaviour. But what a beautiful relationship it was, helping Noah to discover whether the floodwaters had dried up enough to allow them to exit the ark. What new relationships might God be wanting to develop at Staplehurst Free Church during this time? Noah was very careful in testing when it was safe to come out of the ark. But even once the dove had left, Noah still waited nearly 2 months longer before leaving the ark. In fact, Noah waited until God told him that it was okay to leave. Noah didn't rush ahead when it first seemed okay, when the dove brought back that olive branch. Noah waited on God, the God that he hadn't heard a word from since 7 days before he first entered the ark. Now that is impressive faith. Noah is the only Bible character with a significant portion of scripture attributed to them who never speaks throughout the bulk of their story. God does all the speaking in this story. Noah acts in complete obedience in response to what God has said. In a pastoral vacancy, it might be tempting to rush ahead, especially when we've been without a minister for a long time. But Noah's actions challenge us and encourage us to wait on God and move in obedience to him. Noah and his family and all the animals were on the ark a very long time. Did they ever begin to wonder if it would end? Had God forgotten them? Noah was commanded to go into the ark 7 days before the flood came. And once all the animals were in, they waited in the ark for another 7 days. There then came 40 days of rain, followed by 150 days of the floodwaters rising. After that, it took another 150 days for the floodwaters to recede. Noah then waited 40 days before sending out the raven and the dove. 7 days after that, the dove went out again and returned with the olive leaf. And 7 days more, and the earth was dry enough for the dove to build a home. So there were two periods of 7 days, one lot of 40 days and one lot of 150 days of the floods coming in Genesis 7, and 150, 40 and two lots of 7 days of the floods receding in Genesis 8. But right in the middle of it all, in the middle of wondering if it was ever going to end, when the flood looked at its very, very worst, we find Genesis 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. In the middle of the flood, when Noah and his family were wondering how to stop the animals eating each other, how to deal with animal waste, whether they would have enough food, how they would survive, God remembered Noah. They were never forgotten by God. Who could bring Noah and his family and the animals home again? Only God. Who can lead this church through this time to a new minister? Only God. So let us turn to Jesus Christ, who loves his church. Jesus Christ, the one who, like Noah, suffered because of the wickedness of others, who hung alone on a cross and wondered if God had forgotten him. Yet he did all of that just to be united with us again. And so we can trust that Christ, God's Son, the passionate lover of the church, this church, hasn't forgotten you. He will come through for his bride, his church. Amen.